This is a very special day around here. You'll notice on the front of the bulletin it says All Saints. That's a Sunday where we celebrate all of the people of God throughout all time and in all places. And the relationships that we have here sort of give you that sense of all places. We have people here from other parts of the world. We have people that have gone out and have returned. We have those worshiping here today because friends and family are being confirmed. I just want to welcome all of you. Our preacher this morning is Bishop Laurent Banda from the Shira Diocese in Rwanda. This church has had a connection to the Shira Diocese since it was founded in 1998. Sunrise School, that many of you may have heard of, is located in the Shira Diocese and is a ministry of the diocese. And so anytime we can make that connection again and renew that relationship that goes on throughout the year, actually, we're so glad to be able to do that, to welcome Bishop Mbanda and his wife, Chantal. And so please make them welcome today. I know that you already have, and you will continue to do so. There's a time of fellowship after our service together to facilitate that. But Bishop, please come and give us the word that you have for us today. We are so glad that you're here. Bless you.
Thank you very much, Jay, for the warm welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a joy for Chantal and I to be here and to be with you on this special occasion, All Saints Day, but also a time for confirmation. I was telling those who are going to be confirmed that if we were in Rwanda, we would be going from one home to another of those who are confirmed, celebrating and sharing testimonies and moving to the next home and celebrating and sharing testimonies. But I realized that if you were to do it here, you would be driving a lot of miles, while in Africa we walk a lot of miles.
Yeah, that's right.
From one village to another. What a joy to be with you again, to be here, to experience your love, to be loved, but also to love you and to thank you for your prayers and your support and the people you continue to send to us. Please send more or come yourself. If you can't come, then send. And if you can't come and send, then pray for those who come. We thank you for Dan, who is in Rwanda. He's one of our deacons and his training pastors. We thank you for those who have come to us, like Amanda and Jay and others who have ministered to us. And our people remember them and pray for them. And I believe that Amanda had a great time at Sunrise, speaking in two services and enjoying with the kids, and Jay speaking in the cathedral. We are looking forward to many more coming, or else to at least those who have come to come again. And it is a joy to be here. I'm speaking from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, verse 1 to 16. It is a chapter that gives us a metaphor that is a beautiful metaphor, actually, when you look at it and when you think about it. And it is a metaphor in a sense that it describes each one of us also. We have the vine, we have the branches, there are two types of branches. We have the vine dresser, and I believe that we have the roots somewhere down, even though they are not spoken, but they are not seen, but we have the roots. And this vine that is shared with us in this gospel, it says, is the true vine, and actually the vine is Jesus Christ himself. And talks about the vine dresser, who is God the Father, the creator of all of us, our maker, our heavenly Father, and talks about the branches that are the believers. And it's very interesting that when it talks about the branches, it talks about two types of branches. It talks about branches that bear fruits and branches that do not bear fruits. And there is a little exercise that the vine dresser does with his vine and the branches that the vine has. The exercise that he does is that out of these two types of branches, he takes some that bear fruits and he prunes them. Do you know why he prunes them? He prunes them, even though they bear fruits, he prunes them so that they can bear much more fruits. Very interesting. He looks at also these ones that do not bear fruits, and he doesn't prune them. He actually takes a machete or a scissors or whatever you use, and he cuts them, chops them down, and puts them and gathers them together and burns them. Have you ever thought about that as a believer? If the branches are believers, that means that those who are spiritually active, those who are in ministry, those who are bearing fruits for the Lord, he also prunes them so that they can bear much fruits. And I was thinking, how does he prune me? How does he prune you? How does he prune us? And I believe that he prunes us by, through his Holy Spirit, reminding us and showing us those obstacles that do not allow us to bear fruits so that we can confess them, so that we can bring them to the Lord and cut them and put them there, and God forgives us and God makes us even more fruitful because we have the right relationship with him. If you are a believer who is sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God talks to you, speaks to you through that small, still voice. Here it says that you are already cleansed. He cleansed you with his word. So it is through his word that he speaks it to us and that he encourages us through his Holy Spirit to come to him with clean hearts, with repentant hearts, with that prevents us from bearing much fruits. And for those that either have not yet received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, he invites them to come, gives an invitation and says, come to me. Whether you have not received Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, or whether you are carrying a heavy burden, a grief, whether you are heavy burdened by what is happening in your life, by sickness in the family, by discouragements, by trouble of any sort, by whatever is burdening you and not freeing you up to bear fruit, he says, bring it to me, and I will carry it for you, and I will give you peace, and I will give you joy. So he says, I have a plan. I have a master plan. And in that master plan, he actually says in verse 16 that you are appointed to be part of that master plan that he has. You are chosen to be part, to be his agent in that work that he has. And in that work that he has for you and I is that of bearing fruits. But there is a condition. He says, you know, you will not bear fruits if you are not connected to the vine. A branch out there, without being connected to the tree, without being connected to the vine, it cannot bear fruits. And so he says, if you want to be alive, if you want to be fruitful, if you want to be useful, to be any of use to me as a believer, you have to abide in me and I in you. I don't know if you do it here. And I'm sure you do. Because many of you have cell phones. And many of you have iPads. And many of you have computers. If you are in Africa and people are coming to church on a Sunday, where there is electricity and in their homes they don't have electricity, they come with their cell phones and the power cord. And the first thing that they do is connecting that power and then connect it to their cell phone and get some little juice. So that their cell phones can work, so that they can be able to call, and so that they can be able to receive a phone call. A problem is solved for them. It is the same. The scripture is saying, if you want to be fruitful, if you want to be alive, if you want to be charged and have a life, because a cell phone, when it is not, when it is out of power, they say, well, it is not alive, it is not charged, it can't serve me. But if you want to serve the Lord, if you want to be fruitful, if you want to be powerful, if you want to have any juice, you have to stay connected to that power. And that power is Jesus Christ. And he says, abide in me, and I in you, and you will bear fruits. And you will bear fruits. So the scripture is challenging us to remain connected, to abide. This word abide means, really, it means to remain. It means to abide. It means to dwell. Which chamber is another way of saying you have to be connected. Or you cannot disconnect and say, oh, no, 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 I have enough power. My cell phone is full. Or the iPad is fully charged and I'm going. No, this one is saying stay put, stay charged, so that this inflow can continue to come in, and with the inflow, then you have the outflow. And that outflow is that fruits that you will bear for your Lord. And so he says, I have a plan, and I have appointed you, and I have called you, and I want you to be my agent, to be a part of what I'm doing in this place. When we confirm believers back home, we say, you now have a certificate to be a part of the ministry of the Lord, to be part of the church, to see what role you play in the church, and we encourage them to actually seek an opportunity to serve. Life can be meaningless if we don't have a purpose, if we don't know what it is that, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I talk with my kids and my sons, and I say, so, what is your purpose in life? I don't know. And we say, okay, we are going to pray so that God can reveal this to you. It's not only them. Sometimes we don't know what we are supposed to be doing. But we are connected to Jesus. When we abide in him, life can be meaningful, because through him we identify, we find the reasons for our being here. The reason that is on that, why I am here. Life can be more meaningful if we know that we have a purpose. And the purpose for a believer, a meaningful life for a believer, is one that learns to praise God and to honor him through the service, or our service to him, who has given us life that we can enjoy, even the eternal life, while we are still here on this earth. It is not therefore by accident that you and I are here. We are here for a mission. We are here for an appointment. We are here because God wants us to be his agents. We are here because God wants to use us in his plan. But sometimes, especially those who are next to a seminar here, it is very easy for you to say, Well, I have not gone to seminary, therefore there is nothing I can do. I have to go to seminary in order to be able to serve, in order to be able to bear fruits, in order to be able to find something that I can do for the Lord. Well, let me tell you that it doesn't have to be that way. Others say, well, the priest has never asked me. He knows I'm in the pew. He knows I'm seated there. But all the time I go to church, he greets me. But he has never asked me, do this or do that for the church. Sometimes it's good to be asked. There is value in that. I value it also. But other times it doesn't have to be. We have all kinds of excuses of why I can't do this, why I cannot do that. But before God, there is no excuse. God, when he calls, he also equips you. The reality is that each one of us, God has given us a gift, a talent, talent in French. He has given us an ability. And if you were to look into your toolbox, by that I mean your experience in life, you can ask yourself, so with what God has given me, with the ability he has given me, with the experience he has given me, with the education he has given me, how can I use this to glorify God? Whether you are a plumber, whether you are an electrician, whether you are a lawyer, whether you are a driver, whatever it is that God has gifted you with, how can you use that for his service, for his glory? Maybe you are the one to come to the priest and say, Father Jay, the Lord has given me a gift, and I want to use it for his glory in the church. And maybe it is not in the church, it's in your home. And maybe it is not in your home, it's in your community. And maybe it's not only in your community, it's in the whole of the United States. And maybe it is beyond. It's at sunrise, it is in Africa, it's in Asia, it's in Latin America. Wherever God is calling you to use that ability. And you can say, Father Jay, but I am shy. I'm not one of those who can stand in front of people and preach. That's fine. Maybe God wants to look next door and you see that person who is struggling. And you say, let me help you carry that inside. That's a service. That is something that probably would leave that person asking questions. Why? Why did this person do this? If nothing else, that person is going to say, oh, she is so kind. Oh, he's nice. He helped. And maybe that will cause that person to say the next day and say, good morning, neighbor. While before, she or he looked at you and opened his garage and drove in and drove out. And you didn't talk. Maybe what is needed is that kind of service, is that Christian character that you need to display so that people can ask a question. If nothing else, they can say, well, if being a Christian is like being so and so, I want to go to church and be part of it. Rather than saying, if being a Christian is like being so and so, I want nothing to do with it. The challenge for us is that verse in Mark 16, verse 15, which says, go unto all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Matthew 28:19 is not just for preachers, it's for every believer to go and make disciples and teach them. There is a process there of evangelizing, of baptizing, and discipling so that these fruits can remain. Bad fruits, but fruits that can remain. And that is for you and I. The Great Commission is for all of us. In this fruit bearing is another way of saying God is calling us to be soul winners, to bear fruits, to be soul winners. And I know that winning souls comes in different ways. For us, it may be in Africa, it may be to go on that here with some loud speakers, with some loud music, with some dancers, and everybody is dancing, and others are playing music, and then they come, they sit, and then the preacher comes on, he gives a message, he gives invitation, they come forward, you pray for them, you send them to groups where they need to be discipled, and then you follow them thereafter to disciple them until they come to that time of being confirmed, being baptized, and being confirmed if they haven't been baptized already. But to others, it may be that I need to go to that person, not even bring the gospel to that person, but sit down with that person, listen to him or her. Let them pull out whatever is the burden for them. And then say, I'm there for whatever I can do for you. Maybe because you are shy, let us pray. To say, let us pray. But I'm there for whatever I can do for you. And maybe that will lead to an opportunity to share the gospel or bring that person to church or take a friend to him who can lead him or her to Christ. I don't know where I read that an estimated 95% of Christians today will never lead a soul or a person to Christ. Many Christians have turned inward. They have been self-centered. It's about me. It's about my church. It's about how I can grow. It's about the next building we can build. We have been inward focused. We are not looking outward. We have disassociated ourselves from the most important responsibility we have as believers, which is the goal and making disciples of all nations. How do we recapture that in our communities, in our church, around us, in our place of work? What the Lord desires of you and me first is your heart. That connection, that spiritual nurture that we can get only from him and from his word. That cleansing that is needed, that pruning. He wants your heart. And the next thing that he wants is your hands for you to serve. He wants the heart. He wants productivity, and that is what you and I can offer when we remain connected to him, when we abide in him. His thoughts becomes our thoughts. His purpose becomes our purpose. Bearing fruit is a mark of our discipleship, according to John 15, verse 8, and it's by this that our Father is glorified. And it is also by that that we prove that we are his disciples. To disciple, we must bear fruits. To bear fruits, we must abide in Christ. To abide in Christ, we must keep his commandments. Bearing fruits is manifested in many different ways. As I said, soul winning, helping, developing our Christ-like attitude and spirit, praising God and giving them him our offerings, winning souls brings joy, and sharing with others produces happiness. That is what we are all being challenged to do. And then discipling and mentoring those that we bring to Christ. Have you ever asked yourself, why am I here? Does the scripture answer your question? When you are a believer, knowing that you are here to bear fruit, knowing that you are here because of God's plan, knowing that you are here as a part of God's master plan of bringing people into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and discipling them to manifest the fruits of the Holy Spirit, to minister to others in whatever way that God may have you do. You see, it's very easy sometimes to minister to others way out there at sunrise. It's very easy for you to minister to us, then you can minister to each other, then you can minister to the people next door, then you can reach out to the person who is hurting in the same church. Because you don't want to bother them. They are busy. One time I was here at Trinity. And the students go from library to class, class to library, and the library to home, and then they come. Sometimes they don't. There are not many, maybe these days. There are not many who stand and socialize. So one time I tried to do an exercise for one of my professors, and I was just talking to students and trying to find out. And I said, do you think when I stop you and say hi and ask how things are going home, I'm bothering you? And he said, oh, no, not at all. I actually enjoy it. So how come you don't do it? Well, I'm afraid of bothering somebody. That's what often happens. We are afraid of bothering somebody. But that fear of bothering somebody, it may be an opportunity to minister to that somebody, and it may be that that somebody is actually wishing, I wish someone can talk to me. I wish someone can pray with me. I wish someone can understand the burden that I'm carrying, the grief that I have. My loved one who is sick and I need people to come and support me and pray with me. Let me encourage you that when you come to a place like this, take a little time, stretch it a little bit like in the African way and talk to each other. Find how you can be a blessing to your fellow brother and sister and church member. In Africa, we take the time like I've taken and we stretch it a little bit. And I better come to here and say, let God use you. Feed from his word. Let him prune you. Come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let him be the king. Let him use you to minister to the next door neighbor. Bear fruits. Be willing to let God and the Spirit of God take away that prevents you from being useful and fruitful in your Christian life. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you that you have brought many of us to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We thank you for what you have done for us, and what you have done in us, and what you want to do through us. Father, we pray for those who do not know you yet, that they will come to know you, even today as we speak. That those who desire to receive you will go to the church wardens, will go to the priests, will go to others that they know, and say, I want to receive Jesus Christ, but I don't know how. Help me. I pray, Father, that you would lead us to those that are hurting so that we can lift them up through prayer and words of encouragement. I pray that you can help us to live our life that is pleasing to you, that is honoring to you, so that those fruits and those characteristics can also minister to others, even if we are shy to talk. I pray, Father, that in what we do, we will seek to please you. We will seek to go. We will seek to teach or to serve in any capacity that you have us serve. Bless us, I pray. We give you our hearts and we make our hands available to you. Use us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.